I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's January 28th, and we have a lot to talk about. Just a couple of weeks ago, the National MS Society released the results of a nationwide survey about access to MS medications. Some of those survey results could be expected, and some were not only surprising, but even unsettling. My guests today are Tim Cutsey, the Chief Advocacy, Research, and Services Officer, and Barry Talenti, the Executive Vice President of Advocacy for the National MS Society. But before we get into the details of this survey with Tim and Barry, there are a few other things that you should know about. Last week, it was my honor to host an International Progressive MS Alliance Facebook Live event, where I had an opportunity to interview a panel of MS experts about symptom management and strategies designed to enhance well-being for people living with progressive MS. If you missed the event, you can still check out a video replay of the entire presentation at realtalkms.com/Facebook Live. That's realtalkms.com/Facebook Live without any spaces between the words. And you'll not only hear about some of the latest research in symptom management, but you'll also come away with suggestions from a panel of experts about things that you can do today to better manage symptoms of progressive MS. So I hope you have an opportunity to check out the Facebook Live replay at realtalkms.com/Facebook Live, and you'll find that link in today's show notes. A couple of weeks ago, I told you that the National MS Society had joined 23 other patient organizations in supporting the attorneys general from 20 states, along with the U.S. House of Representatives, in petitioning the U.S. Supreme Court to issue an expedited ruling on the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act before the federal district court had issued its ruling. Now, usually the Supreme Court doesn't take a case before the lower court has had an opportunity to issue a ruling, but the petitioners in this case argued that the ongoing uncertainty about the long-term viability of the Affordable Care Act is disrupting major sectors of the healthcare industry and ultimately putting patients and their care at risk. Well, the Supreme Court turned down the petitioners and declined to take up the case before the lower court had issued its ruling. And last week, the MS Society and patient groups, including the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the American Lung Association, who combined represent millions of Americans with pre-existing conditions, expressed their disappointment over the Supreme Court's decision not to immediately take up the case of Texas versus the United States. The patient groups issued a joint statement, and I'll share that with you, quoting directly from the statement. "The court's decision today will leave millions of Americans with pre-existing conditions and those who rely on federal tax credits to obtain coverage unsure about their ability to keep or afford comprehensive health care coverage for months to come. Their uncertainty is rooted in the reality that without the protections of the Affordable Care Act, patients and survivors may once again be denied health coverage due to their health history or be priced out of the care they need entirely. While the ultimate outcome of the law is uncertain, the connection between health coverage and health outcomes is clear. Access to affordable, comprehensive health insurance is essential to ensuring patients, survivors, and their families can get the care they need, when they need it, and at a cost that reduces the economic strain. On behalf of all the people we represent, we urge the Supreme Court to accept this case for review within its regular order and minimize the continued uncertainty for patients." And that's the statement. So in other words, the patient groups are asking the Supreme Court to still take up this case once the district court issues its ruling. And in the meantime, if you have questions or concerns about your MS-related health insurance needs, I'd like to suggest that you contact an MS Navigator, which is the one-on-one personalized problem solving that the MS Society offers. It's free of charge, and MS Navigators are experienced professionals who are going to drill down into all the details and help you resolve whatever issues you may be facing. Now, I've talked about the MS Navigator program before on the podcast. I think it is just a remarkable service. And if you're facing the kinds of complex problems or difficulties that MS can sometimes leave at your front door, you can contact an MS Navigator toll-free at 1-800-344-4867. That number again is 1-800-344-4867. I've always said that MS affects families and not just individuals. And that effect is felt in any number of ways, from creating employment issues to serious economic impact and emotional fallout. And that emotional fallout can sometimes spread more widely than you might think. Pediatric MS researchers in Canada found that anxiety and mood disorders were increased in a study of 56 mothers of children who were living with MS, compared with 624 mothers of children who weren't diagnosed with MS. And this heightened level of anxiety existed in the mothers of pediatric MS patients both before and after their children were diagnosed. The study also showed that mothers of children living with MS were more likely to seek and use mental health care services both before and after their children were diagnosed. And the study authors suggested that seeking mental health care before the time of diagnosis could be attributed to possible stress that developed as mothers observed their children exhibiting symptoms of MS before the children had been diagnosed. Another way to consider this is that maternal mood disorders or anxiety might actually contribute to the child's risk of developing MS, although this hasn't been proven. And while it hasn't been identified in MS, other medical research has shown that a child's risk of developing asthma actually increases with maternal depression. Well, this study should remind all MS care providers, and especially pediatric MS healthcare professionals, to be alert to the mental health concerns of mothers of children living with MS. And if you're interested in the details of this study, I'll include a link to the study in today's show notes, along with a link to a guide that the National MS Society has published for parents of children who are living with MS. There's some good news for people with secondary progressive MS who are living in Europe. Last week, the European Union approved Mayzent for the treatment of adults with secondary progressive MS with active disease evidenced by relapses or MRI showing inflammatory activity. Now, Mayzent is an oral disease-modifying therapy that's been shown to delay progression among people living with secondary progressive MS. It was approved by the FDA in the United States in March 2019, and Mayzent recently received approval by the Australian Therapeutic Goods Administration in November 2019. A couple of weeks ago, I told you that California Governor Gavin Newsom announced that the state of California plans to negotiate directly with generic drug manufacturers to have them manufacture generic drugs so that the state can make these drugs available to Californians at a lower price, making California the first state to launch its own generic prescription drug label. Well, it seems that the governor of California isn't the only one feeling frustrated at the availability and price of generic prescription medications. Last week, Blue Cross Blue Shield Association and 18 of its member organizations, which provide health insurance to about 40 million people, announced that it was investing $55 million to create cheaper versions of expensive generics that have little or no competition. They haven't named any specific drugs because they don't want to tip off potential competition, but they plan to start with between 7 and 10 drugs, and the first of these lower-priced generics could become available in early 2022. So as of today, we can't really tell whether this plan will include MS disease-modifying therapies or not, but what we can conclude is that access to prescription medications and the affordability of prescription medications is receiving more scrutiny than ever before. And people aren't waiting for Congress to do something about it. Individual states, even private insurance companies, are stepping up and proposing new programs designed to make sure that people have access to the prescription medications that they need. And that certainly feels like a step in the right direction. Speaking of having access to prescription medications, a couple of weeks ago, the National MS Society released the results of a nationwide survey about access to MS medications. In a moment, we'll look at what some of those survey results mean and what we should be doing with this new information when we meet my guests, Tim Cutsey, the Chief Advocacy Research and Services Officer at the National MS Society, and Barry Talenti, the Executive Vice President of Advocacy for the MS Society. I'm with Tim Cutsey, the Chief Advocacy Services and Research Officer, and Barry Talenti, the Executive Vice President of Advocacy for the National MS Society. Just a couple of days ago, the Society released the results of a survey that addressed access to MS medications, which is a topic of incredible interest to an awful lot of people listening to us, and I'm glad we have the chance to talk about it. And one of the revelations coming out of that survey was that 40% of the people surveyed have actually had to alter or stop using their MS disease-modifying therapies against medical advice due to issues related specifically to cost. So when you combine that with the fact that slightly more than half of them have a concern about being able to afford those disease-modifying therapies over the next few years, it seems like a dire problem, certainly one that requires a response. So I'm wondering, Tim, let me ask you, how does the information coming out of this survey inform the Society's next steps?
Well, thanks, John. It's great to be with you. So I think this survey, which Barry will perhaps discuss in much more detail, really helps crystallize our thinking about the future and the impact we want to have for people with MS. I've often said that, we've had incredible innovation in MS and in terms of the treatments that are available over the last 25 years. But fundamentally, what this survey is telling us is that those innovations aren't going to matter a lot because people are having to make so many changes. And as much as we want to celebrate progress, if people can access the progress because of a number of different structural factors, that's not helpful for anybody. And that's going to really require us to shift our approach to how we engage policymakers, insurance companies, and others to take action.
Does a survey like this also have an impact on the Society's strategic or even research direction?
So it has an impact on both our advocacy and our research strategy. So obviously, it motivates, the specific tactics we use, but also the overall plans about how we engage Congress, how we engage state legislators, how we talk to pharmaceutical companies, all the different actors in the ecosystem that need to come together to do something. But beyond that, it's also given us insights as to what's the science that we need to do? And so this kind of health policy research, as we call it, is really critically important because these policymakers want the data. And they don't just want us going up and saying, MS affects people profoundly. They'll say, yes, we know it affects people profoundly. Show me the data about how much it costs, what's the change, what's the impact it has on people. And so we need this kind of rigorous work in order to go up and really persuade people that changing in a particular area will have substantive benefit for people with MS, but also importantly, our economy, our society in general.
Barry, let me ask you, if we extrapolate the survey results to reflect everyone in the U.S. who's living with MS, it means that perhaps hundreds of thousands of people with MS are altering or stopping their use of disease-modifying therapy due to high costs. What's the message for all these people?
Well, the message for the people who are going through this is that we are doing our best to change the current processes and systems that are getting in their way. So for a number of years now, the Society has been very vocal and public in saying we believe that medications must be affordable and the process for getting them simple and transparent. we know we're not there yet, and the survey certainly bears that out. But as Tim said, the data that it provides to us, partnered with the real life experiences that people are going through, will make us much stronger as we talk about this. And just from the few journalists I've spoken to so far about the survey this week, they feel that the data that we have is just adding incredible value to the conversation, and that this type of data and information in this quantified way has been missing from the conversation a bit. I'll also say that the data that we're getting about the impact on people with MS is fairly consistent to what we're seeing across some other disease areas and with the American public overall. So it's adding a lot to the conversation that's happening, and it's pushing forward the voices and experiences of people with MS.
Looking at all that data for a moment, how will it impact the society's advocacy efforts?
It makes us stronger as we're advocating on these issues. And that's really one of the primary reasons that we engaged in undertaking the survey in the first place. We knew that we had a lot of individual stories from people, and those are incredibly powerful and heartbreaking as people share what they're going through just trying to stay on their disease-modifying medication. But really being able to have some quantifiable data along with it makes us a lot stronger when we go and advocate on behalf of people with MS.
When you look at some of that data, it tells us that 82% of the survey respondents believe that the cost of MS disease-modifying therapies are unreasonable, and 85% think that the federal government should do more to control high drug costs. But what does do more mean? How does that get translated into actionable and effective public policy?
Well, that's the magic question, John. I think there's a lot of different policy proposals that have been out there over the past few years trying to get at these challenges of affordable and accessible medication. And the society has supported a number of them. There's some that we've given feedback into to make them stronger. And these issues will remain a top priority within our advocacy portfolio and something that we'll be talking about for a long time. I think we're going to see some incremental change, but we know that it's going to be a year over year over year effort to keep building on some of the change that needs to happen.
Well, talking about change, 83% of the survey respondents said that healthcare is one of their top three issues for the 2020 presidential election. And this year, the proposed fixes for healthcare are widely varied, some of them advocating major changes to our healthcare system. Will the society be parsing some of these proposed plans and changes to our healthcare system and offering some guidance about how they will likely impact families who are affected by MS?
We absolutely will. So we have some plans underway about how we're going to engage in the election cycle this year. And so when you dig down into that 83% of people are considering healthcare issues when they're voting, what the top three issues underneath that were protections for people with pre-existing conditions, healthcare costs overall, and drug prices. And so those are sort of our guiding efforts as we look at what the healthcare proposals are in this election cycle. And we'll be reviewing everything that the candidates put out, and we'll also be providing input as we can and as we can get in to see candidates around what their proposals' impact will have on people affected by MS.
In just a few weeks, I'm going to be talking to you again about what is going to be on the agenda for this year's public policy conference, when a few hundred people who are living with MS and advocating on behalf of the MS community come to Washington, D.C. and sit down and meet with our federal legislators. I'm wondering, will access to MS medications be part of those conversations this year?
So what's important to remember is that the society advocates for a lot of different issues throughout the year, and some are part of the policy conference, some aren't. We will be having some in-depth conversations around access to medications at the public policy conference, and we're evaluating where those issues will be during the congressional cycle as we move forward. We think that there's a time frame sort of by May where some things need to happen within healthcare. And so we're going to look carefully as people are coming to D.C. around what those opportunities might be for us.
I think you really
qualified exactly what the healthcare topics are that are reflected in the survey. They're certainly the things that I know my listeners reflect back to me, protection for people with pre-existing conditions, and access to affordable medications. They're so important, and I'm glad to hear they're going to be part of the conversation, as we move through the election year. What can people listening who perhaps weren't directly part of the survey, what can they do from an advocacy point of view from their home to make sure their legislators understand how important these issues are to them?
Yeah, so our survey information and some video stories of people are up on the Society's website at nationalmssociety.org/accessmeds. So I encourage everyone to take a look at the survey results and watch the videos that are up there. And any of those data points from the survey or the videos themselves, you can share with your elected officials. You can reach them on social media and ask them if they knew some of these facts. You can make sure they're watching the videos of the people who've been so generous in sharing their personal stories with us. And then people can add in their own personal stories to make sure that their direct elected officials know about how affordable, accessible medications would change their lives.
Well, thank you for that. And I'm going to be sure to include that link in today's show notes to make it easy for everybody to get to that section of the Society's websites. Mary Talenti and Tim Cutsey, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to talk with me today. This week's episode of Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society. If you have a friend or family member who might also enjoy listening to the podcast, you can share this episode with them by suggesting they point their web browser to realtalkms.com/126. That's realtalkms.com/126. And you'll find that link in today's show notes so you can easily copy and paste it right into your email or text. Please don't forget to visit the Apple App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Real Talk MS app to your iOS or Android smartphone or tablet. It's the easiest way for you to connect to the podcast. The app will automatically download the latest episode of Real Talk MS. You'll be able to save your favorite episodes, and it's a great way for me to share bonus content with you. So I hope you'll take a moment and download the app today. And remember, if you have an Amazon Echo or Echo Dot at home, well, you can just say, Alexa, enable the Real Talk MS podcast. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.